coaches love players that have range, that can play a little bit of wing. You can slide into the center. You can play both sides of the blue line. That's what we're going to do today. We're going to show off our range, because last week we talked the World Hockey Association, like 50 plus years ago, with Howard Baldwin. This time around, we're going brand new, like right current realm of the National Hockey League, with Ashley Brewer, host of SportsCenter LA Edition. And she is the fiance of Frank Kaminsky, an NBA player. I set all this up because it's a cool conversation with somebody who's a big hockey fan, grew up in Phoenix, a huge Coyote fan, went to the first night at Mullet Arena, and was part of the NHL Awards. Ashley is awesome and a great person to speak on behalf of our sport. It's The Chirp with Darren Millard.
Boys, I'm Mike today. Just let everyone know, don't say anything stupid.
I'm going to run you. I'm just waiting for my shift.
Huzzah! Oh, how'd that feel, old man?
That's a disgrace. That's a disgrace. What a joke.
Hit him. Hit him. Light him up. Light him up.
Yeah, nice hit.
That's solid.
As organic as we can, we're going to get right into it. No headlines like on television, no big intro. We have our first SportsCenter anchor on the air with us, with Ashley Brewer. This is kind of cool. Nice to meet you.
Oh, this is so cool. I'm admiring your background. I'm obsessed. I wish I had a cooler background with all my memorabilia, but I'm here at home hanging out before I go into work tonight. And it's so cool to talk with you guys. Obviously, I've loved the game since I was a little girl. So anything NHL related, count me in. I'm always ready to go.
You got the cool LA chic background. Very modern.
Exactly. Like, so I have like all the white here. And then on the other side, not to brag or anything, I have the beach. So I'm like, I'm cool here. I'm happy.
Well, that was a big flex right off the bat. I know where I stand in this. So even in Vegas, I'm like, I'm jealous of that. Hey, you mentioned that you love the game. How do you get into it?
Just being a little girl growing up in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm one of five kids, and I have two parents that are just sports nuts. And so from the day I was born, it was like, okay, we're going to a Suns game. My mom went into labor at a Suns game.
No way.
So every night really of my childhood and life, I was at some form of game. And at that time, the arena was called America West Airlines Arena. And that was where we'd go to Suns games one night and Coyotes games the next night. So we had season tickets to both. And, we just became diehard fans of both teams. And so a huge part of my childhood, at that time, the Cardinals were still pretty new. The Suns were really the hot team, and the Coyotes were really popular at that time in the 90s. So that was our ticket. We were always there, and, I had all my jerseys, my brothers were with me, and that was my childhood growing up and go to those games.
Who was your first Coyote jersey?
Oh.
Or was it generic?
That's a great question. I'm gonna have to like look back at pictures. I know I had a hat. Like I have a picture of me with like a white hat with the Kachina logo.
Yeah.
So that's what I can think of, probably like, my early swag. But I just remember being out there. We had really great seats and just thinking it was the coolest thing in the world, just guys crashing up against each other. And when you're so little and so small, it just seems so large to you and so massive. And so that's when I really think I fell in love with it.
I'm trying to think of your parents. So you've got five kids and five kids, two parents. Yeah. Like, wow. Like,
I know.
It's a trip.
And now like thinking about it, I don't have children yet, but I'm like, I don't understand like why. Why didn't you just like stop when it was like, okay, that's enough. But my mom just like, she was so excited. She grew up with a smaller family. And so she wanted a ton of kids. And so, she just kept going and going. And she was super mom. Like we never had nannies, never had babysitters. It was just like mom and dad with us, trucking us around Phoenix, taking us, we were all athletes too. And so taking us to our different practices and games. And it was really cool.
You guys would take up half a row just to, as a family at the game.
I know. Yeah. I'm like, now thinking about it, I'm like, holy cow, that must have been so expensive. Back in the 90s, it's probably a little bit easier to have more kids, but absolute craziness. It was a really fun environment. I always say like hanging out in the backyard was like a WWE match every single night because three brothers, two girls, we were always rough and rowdy, and that's how I grew up. And I'm grateful because it's kind of made me this person I am today.
Who is your player that you gravitated towards when you were growing up?
I love Jeremy Roenick. I thought Jeremy Roenick was the coolest dude. He was just like, didn't care. Physical, tough, in your face, would mouth with some of the guys, chirping the guys. I loved his style of play, just a really cool guy. Obviously, Keith Tkachuk, just, you know, a great leader, a total guys guy that I think everyone kind of loved. He was kind of like that face of the team. And then really like growing up into, you know, younger years, teenage years, and even early 20s, Shane Doan was just the class of the NHL and so well respected. Now getting to know some of the other players that got to play with Shane, understanding the kind of guy he was, the kind of captain he was, I have so much respect for him. So those three are like my all-time faves.
I go back to Doner when he was with the Winnipeg Jets. I was at the, yeah. I covered the team in Winnipeg way back when. So that's how long I've known Shane. And Shane is the best of all time. Yeah. Have you got a chance to meet whether it's JR or Walt?
Yeah, it's funny. I was at a Chargers game at the new SoFi Stadium last year. And I got in an elevator and I see Jeremy Roenick. For the first time since watching him as a kid.
No.
And I knew that he knew my dad, you know, in Phoenix, just around and in business. And so he looked at me and, you know, I smiled and I said, hi, I don't want to bother you, but, you know, I'm a longtime Phoenix Coyotes fan. And like, you were the coolest guy growing up. I think you knew my dad. He was like, wait, you're the Sports Center anchor. That's your dad. Like he put two and two together. And I guess he had already knew, kind of recognized who I was and didn't realize that, you know, we had known each other, you know, growing up in the 90s and his family in Phoenix. And so it was such a cool thing because then we stayed and talked for like 20 minutes after that. He and his wife were so great. And it was such a weird full circle moment. That happens a lot in my career where I'm like, how did I get in the same elevator as this person? You know what I mean? And so that was really special and cool to chat with him and, you know, just kind of get to know that kind of person that you hear about that everyone's like, oh, he's so funny. He's so cool. You know, he'll say whatever, he doesn't care. And so to get to have a conversation with, you know, a great athlete like that from Arizona was so awesome.
How neat is it though, that you guys are trying to figure out almost who recognizes each other first?
Yeah,
like
exactly.
You to him.
Same thing happened. It was so funny. I was at, I hosted the NHL Awards this year. And I went to the ESPN set to go say hi to some of my buddies, Barry Melrose, John Buccigross. I love those guys so much. And so I went to the set and Charles Barkley walked up towards me. And in my head, I'm like, you know, Phoenix legend, the legend of Phoenix. And he looks at me, he goes, why are you in studio right now? And I go, Charles, this is so funny. I don't know if you know this, but I used to babysit your rabbits. He had pet rabbits because he was our neighbor growing up. And he was so funny. He was like, wait, that Brewer, that's you. And so he put two and two together because we were at every Suns game and ended up, he invited us into his suite. So it was me, Gary Bettman, Charles Barkley, and my fiance on one, and we're all sitting in a row in this suite, and got to enjoy one of the games in Tampa with that group. And it was so insane and so crazy, but it was one of those things, you know, I haven't seen Charles Barkley since I was a kid in Phoenix, and, you know, you'd see him around town, but it was one of those weird things where I'm like, how do you know who I am? I've worshipped you since I was a kid. I have all your jerseys. And, you know, everyone watches SportsCenter. That's just the weird thing that I still kind of haven't gotten used to is that it's on in every bar. It's on in every restaurant. It's on, you know, when people are going to sleep late at night. And so it's really eye-opening and just weird when your heroes are like, yeah, I see you. I watch you. It's really great.
Did your fiance, had he met him before, Charles?
Yes, he had, okay. Because my fiance plays basketball.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, I knew that, but I didn't know whether they'd actually cross paths or not.
Oh, yeah. And then they hit it off and they were like, we're going golfing. We're going to go golf in Phoenix. And they became buddies. So I was like, it was the most fun I've had at a hockey game was hanging out that night in that suite. It was such a cool game. Obviously, Tampa and the Avs was such a fun series. And so getting to know Gary Bettman too was so great. I loved him so much and really enjoyed getting to know him. So it was like the best night ever.
Who's the first person you told after you met Barkley?
I texted my parents. I texted them a picture of me and Charles and was like, hey, he says hi. And they were like, oh my gosh, tell him we say hi. They used to go out together in Phoenix and go on double dates and stuff. And like I said, we lived close to them. We'd babysit their rabbits. So it was such a weird kind of full circle moment. And I have to tell you, Charles Barkley was the hit of the game. Like every single NHL fan would come up to him at the game and go up to Charles and, can I get a quick selfie? He probably got asked over 100 times through the course of like the two periods we were sitting with him. He said yes to every single one, like every single person. He'd come, oh, can I get you a drink? Can I do this? He stopped and chatted with everybody. It was one of the most amazing things I've seen.
Yeah. And there's no difference between talking to you or talking to Joe Fan. Like he is the exact same. That's one of the amazing parts about Chuck.
And the same on TV too. He doesn't have a filter and I love it. It's amazing. Less curse words, but he kind of dials that back. But just the same kind of guy, tells the same stories, talks about the same things. And yeah, he's a special guy.
When you do SportsCenter, do you have a favorite sport to do highlights of?
Hockey's up there. And I think, you know, I'm really glad that they give me all the hockey highlights because it, you know, everyone has their different skills and sports that they're better at. And so they know, okay, give the hockey sheets to either Ashley or Linda Cohn. And I always totally welcome them and embrace them because I can.
Was that natural right at the start, or did you kind of have to campaign, work your way into, hey, give me the hockey?
Yeah. I would like early on when they first, you know, brought me on, I like let them know, hey, I'm crazy about baseball and I'm crazy about hockey and MMA. I really love the UFC. So I told them, you know, I'm very well versed and familiar with the crazy names that when, you know, other anchors might see them on the shot sheet, be like, you know, how do you say that? So luckily, you know, from watching hockey for years and years, it becomes smooth. So hockey's so fun. I do love baseball because it is a little bit slower. So you have a little bit time to ad lib and breathe. And, you know, sometimes basketball is really fast. And so it's so much of the, you can, you know, you kind of feel like you lose a little bit of the creativity sometimes, but yeah, hockey's a blast. Hockey and baseball.
What's your strategy? Because we've all done it. When you come up with a name that you don't really know, do you say it really fast or do you pass it by or just say one of the first or second names? I just like speed through it.
Sometimes I'll go really fast and I'll just be like, oh my God, or I'll apologize. There's been times when I'm like, sir, I don't know how to say this name, but we'll just call you Anton, you know, like you just, maybe just call them their first name, or apologize beforehand. I think the cool thing about the late night Sports Center specifically, we don't take ourselves too seriously. It's so much fun. It's more of a laid back vibe, especially on the West Coast. Our LA shows are pretty cool and laid back. And so, you know, hey, if we mess up, like I'll laugh at Stan if he messes up. He laughs at me. We kind of joke, holy cow, where's that name from? You know? So we have a lot of fun with it and, you know, say a prayer before every show. Like, don't give me any crazy names I've never heard of.
You still get nervous?
No, just excited. I get really excited. I think, you know, I got a little nervous the first show, like beforehand, but once you get going in your life, it goes away.
Yeah.
And I got like told my first Sports Center, I just got thrown into the fire. I didn't know what I was doing. Someone called in sick. So I got to fill in. And then the next thing you know, they called me back and it never ended. So I was nervous that like before that first show, but then once I got going, I wasn't nervous at all. And of course there's breaking news on my first one. And it's always crazy. You never know what to expect. It's live. It's nuts. It's, you know, you mess up, you keep going, you have fun, you make jokes. And I love it. It's the best job in the world. And I want to do it forever.
Yeah. One thing I miss in my role with the Golden Knights is not doing highlights every night in my past. Yeah. So it just gets you, there's something magical about it. Frank is your fiance. You ever do highlights of him?
No, you know what? He has never been in any of my highlights. And I think we give like the Atlanta Hawks highlights to the other anchor because they're like, we don't want to make Ashley, you know, whatever. I can't tell you though how many times, because we were friends for 5 years before we ever even dated. And when we were just buddies, I used to say, hey, come on my show, come on my radio show. He was involved. It was so funny. I was doing SportsCenter a couple of years when I was in Bristol and he was playing in the NBA finals and he got into a little like shoving match, or I think Pat Beverly shoved Chris Paul and then Frank was kind of on the outside and didn't want to get into a fight because he was like, well, then I get ejected and we have the same agent. He was good friends with Pat Bev. So it was a whole thing. And I said, come on our show. And our producers wanted him on. I'm like, come on and just explain that, because he was getting torched on social media. And he's like, no, I'm good. I don't want to talk about it. I just, you know, got a game the next day, whatever. And so I was like, okay, fine. I won't, you know, keep bothering him. And then he goes on the Dan Patrick show the next day. I'm like, come on.
Do you bust him every now and then on that?
Oh, all the time. I still, and but now I'm like, I got him back. I'm like, you know, okay, fine. Now you're not invited on my shows. You're never invited. But I always joke to him. I'm like, you know, someday when we're married and things kind of slow down, like, we need to do a podcast together. I think, yes. a marriage podcast of just talking about sports and stuff. So hopefully he warms up to that idea down the road. But yeah, he refuses to ever be a part of my career.
That it's like 2 degrees of separation from Ashley Burr. Like, this is amazing. All the people that you know.
I know, it is fun. Yeah, the sports world is really so small. I tell people, it's funny, like the people you never dreamed you would ever meet or bump into, you know, that sports are so social, and there's always so many events, and there's always so many friendships that connect so many people. And so I've gotten to meet people I never dreamed I would meet, and had some really cool friendships that have started just, you know, from this job, which is the best part.
Mullet Arena. You had to be there on opening night. Why?
Oh my goodness. Because it was the start of a new era, and I love the Coyotes. I love the franchise. I love the guys that work in that office, Rich Nair and Bill Armstrong, Javier Gutierrez. Like, those guys have been so great to me from the start of my career when I first started getting into TV. They've been so supportive and known that I was a childhood fan. So every step of my career, they would, you know, hey, you want to come to a game? They'd send me jerseys. They've always just been so supportive. So when they, you know, said, hey, we're going to have our first game in this new arena, we'd love to, you know, if you'd want to come, I was like, I will be there. Like, I was off that night of work, and I was like, what else? I'm going to sit on my couch with my dog? No, I'm going to that game. So I flew into Phoenix, brought my little sister with me, and we had so much fun. It was such a great experience. I love going back to Phoenix whenever I can. But, you know, to go to a game like that and be a part of something new and historic was really special.
I worked with Richie Nairn's dad.
No way.
He was in Winnipeg, and he started with the Jets. But yeah, Ernie is a great man. And Richie is like the best in the world all time.
Just the best.
I'll never lose contact with Richie Nairn.
Amazing.
Can you skate? Do you skate?
No, I was a swimmer growing up.
I know, so we freeze the water. It's the same.
I'm good in water, like, you know, water sports, ocean. I'm great. But the second you put me with like my loose joints, my ankles just wobble. I'm a bender. It does not work. It's not good for me. So I kind of hang out on the side, and I've pulled myself when I've gone ice skating on the railing. It's not for me. So I just enjoy it from the outside.
Who's your current favorite player? Doesn't have to be a Coyote, but obviously we're close to that. But you're in LA. You probably see a lot of the Kings in and around your studios.
Andre Kopitar is really special. I think I saw something yesterday. Is he a Hall of Famer? And I was like, has to be.
Yeah.
Through all he's done, the way he's led these teams throughout his career, how he still leads this team. He's one of those guys, like a donor, who's so classy, leads by example. Just one of those guys I think everyone looks to. He does so much for the rookies too. I can't tell you, he has a beautiful home here in my neighborhood. And when he goes to Slovenia over for the summer, I've heard that he lets some of the younger guys live in his family home, and just he really looks after them and looks after some of the young guys and the draft picks. I really enjoy Kopitar. Who else? Austin Matthews, another Phoenix connection. I think his shot is one of the most special, you know, currently in the game and that I've ever seen. I love his swag. I love his energy. I like the style. I think he brings a new flavor to hockey that, you know, I think can get stale at times. All the guys just kind of doing the same thing. They're all so low key, but you know, he brought a new flashiness to the game.
And it just flows, right? Whether the suit's coming in or whatever he's got going on, right on the ice, he just flows.
And he embraces himself and his own unique style. And he obviously came from a place where, you know, growing up and playing hockey wasn't very popular. He's done so much for the state. So I love Austin. I'm always so excited when I get to see him. He's the man.
He's got the hair. Did you wear the mullet when you were at opening night? Did you pull it on?
Yes, I absolutely did. But the problem was, it blended in with my hair. So I put it on and I look at my sister and she's like, it doesn't even look like you have anything on. It was hilarious. We were dying. But that was a really great touch. You know, I think I put a picture on my social media, on my Instagram, and tagged Mullet Arena. And of course you get all the jokes like, ha ha, mullet, ha. You know, people, that was their first reaction. So for the Coyotes to embrace that and say, yeah, we're along with the joke. It's called Mullet Arena. We're going to give you mullets to wear. I think was such a great PR move by them. The fans loved it. Everyone in the arena, like, especially as the drinks started getting flowing around my section, all the guys had them on and we had so much fun. So I think they did a great job of really making it a unique and exciting night for everyone.
Do you have a player that that you follow on the Coyotes?
Oh yeah, Clayton Keller, the man. Yeah. I think he is so smooth. He's so skilled. This is a team that obviously is struggling and rebuilding, and it's taking a little bit of time for them to really get there. But he's the guy that you can count on to score a goal. If there's one goal that night, it's probably from Clayton Keller. I was devastated when, you know, to see him get injured last season because he really is the heart of that team. He's such a quiet leader. He really, you know, goes out there and just grinds and works hard and not one of those vocal, like in your face kind of guys. He just goes and plays the game the right way. So I appreciate Clayton for the player he is and just the guy he is. He's awesome.
Hey, what was it like at the NHL Awards?
Oh my gosh. That's when I got nervous because I'm like, oh my God, I'm staring at some of the greatest players in the world in this room. That was unbelievable. And, you know, to have the commissioner sitting there, to all the agents, all the players, I was taken back by, what that was going to be like. I think I like undershot, like, oh, you know, I'm just going to go up and, you know, kind of talk to a room, but then you look at the room and you're like, holy cow, that's Cale Makar. That's Auston Matthews. Like, you know, you're seeing the greatest players in the game and they're all staring at you. And then you got, Keenan, you know, hosting and saying, hey, Ashley Brewer. And I'm like, you know my name? Like, it's so cool. But we had so much fun to be able to, especially, I got to present some of the really heartwarming stories for some of the awards. And so I got to meet, you know, some people that were a part of the game that had been through tragedy and they incorporated them in the awards, which was really special. But I just loved it. It was amazing. Got to see Auston, you know, win an award. And it was so much fun. That was definitely like one of the highlights of the year for sure.
Did you know Auston before?
Yeah, you know, okay. Just growing up in Phoenix, we had a bunch of mutual friends. So Cool. He's a little bit younger than me, but just seeing him around, you know, we'd always, hey, whatever. It was funny. I was actually eating dinner at this drive-through spot in Phoenix over the summer. And it was like an early dinner and I see this car pull out from the drive-through of the restaurant I'm eating outside. And I look and I'm like, I think that's Auston. I go, Auston. And he's like going through the drive-through. So he gets out of the car and I got to see him right before the awards. So, you know, Phoenix, relatively small town. When you know each other, you'd kind of run into each other and see people, you know, often. And so I saw him like at a drive-through randomly. And then I got to see him at the awards like 2 weeks later. So yeah, you run into people like that randomly, and it's always good to see him.
You just jarred my memory because I hosted the expansion draft for the Golden Knights back in 2017 with Catherine Tappan, and we walked on stage like you, and you look out in that audience, and I couldn't get out of my mind like looking at Sidney Crosby watching me talk.
Yes, like you're watching me.
This is all wrong. This is ridiculous. I don't know how to react. Like, it takes you a second or two to get through it. And then Bernie Perrant came up to me behind the curtain, and he's like, this crap. They want me to say crap because he was presenting at the Vezina.
Yeah.
It's a gambling term. I think it's crap. So it's the crap. I don't want to say. But he's got the French accent. I don't want to say crap out there in front of all the. He's thinking the other version of crap. So I'm talking Bernie Perrant through an on ice thing. And it's a surreal thing to be out there.
Starstruck. I saw Mark Messier looking at me, who is the kindest, sweetest person. And I look over at him and I smile and he goes, and I was like, oh my God, he's like waving at me. It was so cool because he had been on SportsCenter once with me. But I was like, those are those feelings where I still to this day pinch myself and I'm like, how did I get here?
Yeah.
I don't know. It all fell together perfectly and so many things worked out. But, you know, Mark Messier waving at me and saying hi when I was walking on stage was one of the coolest things of my career. Those moments, you just, you know, you'll never forget.
I feel like we're going to work into the third block of SportsCenter if I don't get you out of here soon. But what was your reaction when you got the rights back?
Oh, that was like a party. I immediately
texted. Did you know beforehand, before it was going to be?
There were a ton of rumors going around, like, I think we're going to get it. But you don't really know until really that final hour. You know, so many different things could happen. I know there were other networks that were really pushing for it. We knew that Turner had a great shot, too. And so, you know, John Butchergrass and I would always text, hey, have you heard anything? Do you know anything? You know, I think so, but you don't know so. And no one was really telling us. And so when it happened, it was a huge celebration, huge party. I emailed my bosses. I'm like, I'm so happy for us. And it's been so great for, I think, just a new kind of revival of the network. It's something that's brought a little bit different of a flavor and an excitement. And you see people embracing it, like Stephen A. Smith, who has gotten into it and, you know, done some promos and done stuff on his shows about hockey. And then you see, just to see guys like Steve Levy and Barry Melrose and Bucci and Linda Cohn, people who are a part of that first wave of NHL on ESPN back in, you know, early 2000s. And then we're a part of the departure, and that was a huge bummer. And then it comes back. There's so much excitement. I just think it brought such, you know, a new feeling to the network. And especially for us hockey fans, it's like, all right, hockey's back where it's meant to be. And I do think, like, they're just getting started. I think there's so much growth that's going to happen within the network and with the shows that we have. I think the next couple of years, you know, things are going to continue to evolve and get fun. And I'm really excited, you know, just to be, whether I'm a part of it or just on SportsCenter talking about it, it's just so cool to have around.
Yeah. How much do you try to edge your way into some stuff that's coming up or just stay in your lane?
Well, that's the hard thing, because I was given this huge opportunity to host SportsCenter Los Angeles 1 year ago. So it was kind of in the midst of when the hockey was happening. And my ultimate goal was to be a SportsCenter anchor. Like, that is home for me. That's what I think I'm best at. And so, you know, I wanted to make that my priority first. But, you know, I've definitely gently raised my hand. Hey, you need someone down the road. And so I think over the next couple of seasons, maybe, you know, hopefully I can get more involved once I get more comfortable and solidified in my SportsCenter role. But SportsCenter first, and then, you know, hopefully a little bit more hockey and MMA and some of those fun things on the side a little bit later on. I'd love that.
Second time you brought up MMA. I know you did the Greek, UFC in your backyard. In Phoenix, right?
Yep. Yeah. How cool is that? That arena that I grew up watching the Coyotes and Suns in. Yeah.
You don't have to be shown around. They're like, do you know where I go? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I know the tunnel. I'm good. Yeah.
Who's your cup favorite before I let you go? Did you have one coming into the season? Has it changed?
Yeah. I think coming in, I knew Boston was going to be really strong. I didn't think this strong seeing, you know, that streak that they went on. I think Vegas, I know you're a part of it. Vegas has been really fun to watch. A whole lot of speed. I love seeing Jack Eichel play really well too. He's amazing. And to see what he's been through and to see him really light it up has been cool. I would not be surprised if, and I like New York actually too. And I got to go to a Rangers game earlier this year too, when I was in New York. I would like to see New York start to kind of put something together. The thing is, it's so early. And so I never really expect anything from anyone until after the All-Star break. Once guys like put them in.
You're patient. How are you so patient?
I know. Well, this is like, I've been let down so many times in my life, but I try to not get too high and too low. I'm like, just stay, you know, stay kind of in that neutral zone, like stay there in the middle once All-Star break goes. And then you see teams when they start going on those winning streaks after All-Star break, those are the teams that I think, like you see with Tampa Bay in the past few years, like once you really turn it on end of season, that's when you can get excited and say, that's a cup caliber team. I think the Avs are always going to be strong. They're going to be a part of the conversation. They have too much talent, you know, not to
Nate's
do so.
Awesome right now, he's just sick. Ripping it up.
You had me at
Vegas. All right.
We can keep it there.
get out here and come to a game and hang out with us.
I literally was, it's so funny. I was talking to Dana White the other day. And he's so funny.
Another flex. That's good. I see Dana drive by me. That's about it.
Have you? I bet he's the coolest cars too. Yeah. He's the man. And I work in a little bit in UFC, and I've known him for a few years, and he's the coolest. I was just telling him, I got to get to a Golden Knights game. We were just talking about it because it just looks like a show. And I love Vegas. I love going to UFC fights in Vegas. So that's my next thing. I got to get to a Golden Knights game. I will hit you up when I do. I want to be a part of it. I'm such a fan of the game and you know, just watching good hockey be played. So it doesn't matter who's in town, who's playing, I'm ready to go.
It's the most surreal experience. It's a nightclub when the puck's not moving. It's a full-on club. There's so much going on. And then there's a hockey game. And if something happens, this is the coolest part. Something happens, Jack gets a great chance. They'll show the replay during the play on the big screen because when the puck stops, they don't have time for a replay because there's a nightclub happening.
Like it's just chaos.
It's a party. It's chaos. Man.
I got to do it.
Yeah, I can't. Can't suss my. Hey, this has been so much fun. Great meeting you. Thank you for being such an unbelievable ambassador of our sport. And thank you enough.
Yeah, thank you. No, I love the sport. I'll always have that childlike excitement about the game because you know that's why you get into this kind of career and you love it. And it's it brings me so much joy. I know it brings so many other people joy. So it's always fun to be a part of. It was great to meet you, and thank you so much for having me. I will see you at a game, I promise.
Please. And when you talk to Richie and Aaron, tell them you met somebody that worked with Ernie.
I will. Oh, that's awesome. I love it. We'll see you soon. Thanks, guys. See ya.
That was cool. Like, I'm not going to lie to you. I watch SportsCenter all the time, and I'm out west in the Pacific time zone, so I see that show. That's cool to connect with people. I love the 2 degrees of separation that I'm now part of that with Ashley Brewer because she knows everybody. What do you think of this? Next time she runs into Charles Barkley, she tells Charles about being on the Chirp podcast with Darren Millard instead of her talking about Charles with me on the podcast. I think it could happen. Or JR, or all the people that she knows. Dana White. I know Dana. He's down the street. A couple of million dollars that way over there. $3-4 million that way. Got to get to a couple of things. Really, really got to dive into this. Boston is just ridiculously good. The wins themselves are solid, but 17-2 is approaching just what I would call NBA type starts that we've seen in the past. It doesn't happen in hockey because of all the parity. 17-2, and congratulations to Patrice Bergeron. 1,000 points. It was a big 1K week in the National Hockey League. Bergeron and Bob Bender points this out to me, and it's a great observation. How many goals assists would Patrice Bergeron have on top of the 1,000 points if he wasn't like the perfect player? I don't know. Like, he's so good that I think playing defense, playing in your own end helps you offensively. I don't think it's as many as you naturally would think if you're cheating, because he probably wouldn't play as much. He might not play with as good of players if he wasn't so responsible. So that's one of the things to think of. I don't think it would be astronomically more if he wasn't the perfect 200-foot player, but I'm being the contrarian on that side of it. Phil Kessel, 1,000 consecutive games in the National Hockey League, and he got the biggest bottle of wine. It was amazing. He got this bottle that has 4 regular bottles in one. It looked like a mini Stanley Cup that you carry around the ice. So just a little inside knowledge. That was a gift from the team. And want to mention Evgeny Malkin, because he played his 1,000th game, and his son came in and read the lineup card. And it was one of the most emotional things that I've watched, because Evgeny was emotional about it, wiping, and got a big hug after it. So that was cool. And congratulations to Nate McKinnon, because he is quietly off to a staggeringly good start. Peter Forsberg, the comparisons there, haven't done this since Peter Forsberg. That's really cool. Thanks to Ashley Brewer. I just can't stop looking forward to when they roll into town and we get to celebrate a night at T-Mobile Arena. Bob Bender, you have to come out for the night when Ashley joins us at T-Mobile Arena for a big celebration of the Vegas Golden Knights, because we'll be able to just sit there and talk hockey all night long before you go do your thing at the tables. Thanks to you for listening as well to the Chirp Podcast with Darren Millard. Smash that like button, share it. You're a fan of SportsCenter, you get Ashley Brewer on this program, share it. Tell everybody about it. It's awesome stuff. It's really cool. So make sure that the world knows about the Chirp Podcast with Darren Millard.